ding. I don't have any dingers going. I shouldn't have any dingers going.
It is on. Very good.
It's on now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, turn around. We're all set. Test. Okay. We're call a meeting to order. The water commissioners. Time is 6:04. Is anyone recording this other than us? That's a negative. There's nobody here. Oh! Amy's here.
Yep.
Amy, are you recording? Amy's not recording. We are open to any public comment? Any public comment? Do you have any? Okay. You got the tomatoes started? Did you start your tomatoes yet? It's almost time. When do they start? Okay. I'm going to recap just for a second our executive session that we had on Monday night. So I guess for the record.
Okay. All right.
And we simply went into executive session on Monday night to talk about a contract, and it's my understanding that that's what we need to do when we talk about contract. And we made no decisions on it, but we needed to get clear as to where we were. There was so many variables taking place right now with our new cell tower that. And so many changes that have taken place and requests to change how the RFP was written and how we were going to be paid and the like and a lot of lack of response. And I just wanted I think we all needed to get on the same page, all three of us, so that we could make a better decision in this next couple, this tonight's meeting and then potentially in February's meeting as to what direction we're going to go with the actual tower. We have some issues and we want to be able to resolve them or we want to be able to move on, one of the two. So that's what our executive meeting was all about. And Don or Vic, would you have any comments, anything more you think you'd like to say on it?
No, I feel better prepared for whatever we have coming in front of us because of that meeting. Hopefully, if the gentleman that was part of that contract shows up, we better prepared to have a thoughtful discussion with him.
Well, unfortunately, he's not going to be here this evening, so kind of changes our program a little bit. But he canceled and sent along another change. I guess that's his MO at this stage of the game, just send changes. And Vic, are you good?
I agree with Don. I'm much better prepared for a discussion of this and reading the current information on the condition of our water tower. So, yeah, I am. I'm better prepared for this and look forward to a discussion of it.
Okay. So I just wanted to have that. So, I mean, the minutes, I don't think those minutes are available. Is that what it is? Oh, they are available.
I believe you have.
So we'll have those minutes tonight from that executive session. Okay, here we go. This is when we get quiet and we read the minutes.
Accept the minutes of the last meeting.
The last regular monthly meeting?
Last regular monthly meeting.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All signed, Chris.
Thank you.
And when we're ready, I'm ready to make a motion to accept the meeting of last Monday night's meeting, January 16th. I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Chris.
I'll post these tomorrow.
Okay.
Here, and probably on the, we usually do it in the town of hospital, I believe, also. No. They'll be at least in here, or in, probably for whatever post office also.
On the website?
Yeah, they'll be on the website.
Go Notre Dame.
See why I said that?
No. 92.
ND. He said go Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Oh, we're doing the warrants. Got it. Has there been any Sherry Leavenworth sightings?
Yes, we saw her at Christmas time.
Oh,
she came in looking for chocolate.
Oh, somebody used to send her chocolate and she came in to get the chocolate?
See if there was any chocolate on the, that was brought in.
Is she happy that the birds are still being fed?
The birds aren't being fed as much as they used to.
Turkeys keep eating it all.
Wasn't the bird you had for dinner the other night, was it?
No. The squirrels aren't being fed as much as they used to, I should say.
All right. Warrants all signed. Water quality.
As you can see, as you stated about North Dakota.
Yeah, that too.
Notre Dame,
North
However
Dakota.
However you want to put it. There are no detects, and we're happy.
We are happy.
Good.
We're a happy bunch.
All right.
We are happy, happy, happy.
We had all bacteria samples come back negative, so we're sitting pretty right now, knock on
pretty.
Wood, some wood someplace. So far, so good.
Sitting pretty.
Huh?
Sitting pretty.
Yeah, sitting pretty right now, yeah.
All right, Chris, that's a good one. That makes life nice. Okay. Superintendent's report. Superintendent.
All righty. December of 2015, we pumped 8,301,000. December of 2016, 8,775,000. For a difference of 474,000 more this year than last. It's been about average, give or take anywhere from there to between 8 to 3, I would say 100,000. We've seen some higher sides with lack of rain, some lower sides when it rained a lot. In the winter, the rain and snow doesn't affect as much as summertime, but
yeah.
Still has a little bit of effect. A lot of snow. If you get a lot of snow days, you get a lot more people sticking around, using a little more water and everything. But that's about average right now with the amount of services we're putting in. We had one new service put in December over on Pine Ridge Road. We had no replacement services. Just a little update from before. I did not hear from Phil Benjamin from Forestry. He did think he was going to have a report to me before this meeting. I called and reminded him about 2 weeks ago that we were having the meeting, and he said, I should have something to you again. I don't know if he's had enough rainy or snow days to sit in that and write all the reports that he probably has to do. It doesn't have to be in, I don't believe, till September, so I don't think he's rushing right now. We kind of got an extension there when we added the extra acreage. So I'll give him a call again. There was one service put in.
One new service.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for
your time. No problem. Just a little bit of a reminder here also. We're starting a budget. It's too soon.
Right.
So if there's anything that you guys want to add that need, it's time to start thinking about it and mentioning it. Giving the call, talking to me, talking to Jen, suggestions, anything to that effect, it's time.
I think that we just need to make sure that we include in the budget coming up those repairs that we're going to need to make for the upgrades that we're going to need to make, right, for the DEP?
Yeah, that was on my next thing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Good one. As you all remember, back in April, we had Tater and Howard work out bringing everything up to the chemical safety upgrades up at all the stations, putting alarms, all the bells and whistles, the new better pumps, the containment areas, cleaning everything up a little bit, and some work to Station 1, bringing it up to code a little more. I'm a little concerned with this. I'm a little worried about the electric panel that's in there might have to be upgraded at the same time. I don't know if it'll be the same price that we were talking about. It didn't mention anything about that, at least in it, but we might be required to upgrade it if we do any kind of repairs in there. I know that we have, because we pulled a permit in there, we had to put on the automatic disconnect outside and a couple different things. That one at least is up to grade electrically that way. I don't know how it is for handling everything else inside of some of the stuff. It's one of our older stations, put it that way.
How old is that, Chris?
I'm not quite positive exactly how old, but I would say early 60s. Roughly. So maybe it was 58 even. I'm not positive, but I'm thinking around there some way. It was actually, I don't believe it was, I heard rumors that it was developed by the people in the water department were the ones who designed it. Because it's built into the bank with the sand in the back, which has always been a pain painting it because it's always leaching the coldness through and bubbling and everything else. So it's hard to keep it, you know, a good paint job inside and everything with the moisture coming through the wall all the time and everything. But, yeah, because of the way it was built on the floor, everything has to come up 6 inches at least. Everything has to just be upgraded and cleaned and put back in. And at the same time, we can get rid of the motor that's there. He says, I'd still like to see if I can get rid of it beforehand and get a couple dollars for it.
Yeah, the motor thing, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Just thinking about that this week a little more, putting something in the paper with, you know, they'd have to also include in there somehow getting it out under our watch.
We have two Ford motors and a Mercury Moline tractor engine.
We have a Waukesha, a Minneapolis Moline, two Fords, a six-cylinder, and an eight.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. And the eight is in perfect condition, in great condition, and it's barely any hours on it at all.
These are what are left at the pumping stations. These motors are what are left at the pumping stations after we replaced the generators.
Yeah.
We used to use those as the auxiliary motors for no power.
Right angle gear drives, right.
Yeah.
To run the stations. Yeah.
They have not been removed yet.
Right.
We expected we were going to have to.
Mass General Law, we have to put them out to bid and try to get rid of them. We can't just throw them out or sell them outright. We have to get bids on them. So that's what's been the whole hold up on it, basically.
Okay.
And, you know, to getting them out of there, we've talked about getting them out before, but we have no place to store them.
Right.
If we do take them out of there, you know, and you're not going to put them outside because then they just go to junk.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of taking them out, keeping them someplace if we do it, and, you know, do we do it one at a time?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's tough.
Okay.
But I have those reports again that I gave you just in case somebody didn't have them.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So I'll just give you guys another one just in case.
Just in case you lost yours, Don.
You can look at this a little more, but I will tell you that the response that we gave DEP was we would be going for money in last year, and we'd probably be up and running by February of 2017. Good. So I'm going to have to contact them before they contact me real soon, saying, you know, we didn't get our money. We've been trying to.
We've had a fire going on over here already, and
yeah, we've had some problems. And I think they'll be okay about it, or they'll get mad at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be all right, though.
Other than that, that is my addition to the meeting with the superintendent's report.
Good job, Chris.
I'll be here all night if you have any questions.
Now, the effort to get someone to give us some money for those different motors, does that include them taking it out?
That's what I'd like to include in the bid process, that removal of motors will be included in bid.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to old business project updates, GHD Engineering, Russell Kleekamp.
Good evening, Russ Kleekamp, GHD. Just to go down the list of projects, I'll start with the simple ones first. I did want to just refresh everyone's memory on the two documents for the fiber optic and the SCADA development. They're still out there. I would like to, or it would be advantageous to get those authorized so come springtime we can start putting the fiber in the ground, and come summertime hopefully have this this assignment wrapped up. So I can talk with Chris after the fact and we can get that going on those.
Yep.
The water tank is online. It's complete. I was glad to hear that the samples came back with no bacteria. That's good. That means we've got the tank online. There's no issues with the chlorination of the new tank, and that's a good step. Very minor items remaining on the punch list, which I'm working with the contractor now to wrap up. So the project's substantially complete. It's probably 99% complete at this stage of the game, other than the demolition and the abandonment of the Main Street tank. So with regards to that, there have been a number of documents in your package tonight. There's the amendment from U.S. Wireless. There's a report from Utility Services, which was a structural report on the condition of the tanks since 2013. There was a letter from McKenzie Engineering, which is a structural engineer that Haley and Ward is using on behalf of the carriers, that looked at the footings, the size of the tank. Again, that effort was to look at the tank in an empty condition and see what the required repairs would be to make it suitable for a platform to mount the carrier's antennas. The report's pretty cut and dry. There's a list of items that have to be addressed. If there's any questions with any of those documents, our company wasn't involved with the development of those, but I can try to answer to the best of my ability any questions if there are any.
As far as right now,
mm-hmm.
Well, the engineering document showed a lot of not good stuff.
Correct.
I knew that we were in trouble with that. That started this whole process for building the new tank. But the deterioration is remarkable from that time to this time right now. And I think the longer that tank is up in the air, the greater the problem of having it a catastrophic failure is. And I think it would service if that thing comes down as soon as possible.
I would agree 100%. In fact, the an email from Robert Pickering, the engineer with Haley and Ward, indicated that his group, Haley and Ward, along with McKenzie Engineering, along with Utility Services, on top of GHD's recommendation to not leave that tank, all four of us are saying that in an empty state, it's a tremendous liability for Kootuat. I think with that amount of professionals and unanimous agreement is a cut and dry answer.
I'm glad you all agree with me.
We do. We do.
Russ, what the maybe I read it at some point, but the footing report, what can you summarize that?
Correct. When the tank is empty, it is more vulnerable to wind loads pushing left and right. If you picture that massive structure pushing left and right, you're starting to stress the footing. So two of them will be pulled up and two of them will be compressed upon, and the other two will have either a tension or a compression on them, depending on which way the wind's blowing. When the tank is full, it's pushing straight down. That's the way these footings are designed, to spread load the bearing, the weight of the tank. The concrete has a certain strength, 2,000-4,000 PSI, pounds per square foot, multiply that area by each one of the footings, and it gives you your required area for the weight of the tank. The structural report, when I'm reading this from McKenzie Engineering, it did say that the footings had a suitable geometry to handle the lateral forces if the tank was empty. So the footings themselves would not need any modifications. However, the structural members, the biggest one I'm concerned about is, you know, the turnbuckles control the torsion of the tank. And that's what's going to be stressed on a windy condition. And those are the type of structural elements. As soon as one of them goes, the others have to pick up the slack. And if they're 90% deteriorated, you can assume that it would fail relatively quickly. It's hard to predict when that would happen, but I think in the 80s, the tank came down on Otis Air Force Base.
Yes, it did.
Similar situation. I believe that one was empty as well. So that's, I guess, a small piece of good news and a much larger list of items that have to be addressed. I know that Haley and Ward is working on a cost, what they would expect all these repairs to be. I would expect it's going to be significant. Knowing this information, we had a letter, or the fire district, the water department, sent a letter out from their attorney to the carrier saying that it's the tanks in dire straits and it has to come down immediately. We have got some positive feedback from some carriers and other feedback from another carrier, and I believe all the commissioners have been briefed on that as well. So at least we have some traction going with the majority of the group, which is a step in the right direction on that front.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I did talk with Bob Pickering before I got to the meeting here. The foundation is okay. I misspoke the other night by what he said to me when we met originally out there. When he brought it to the structural engineer for the footings, they are capable of being suitable. He said he didn't think they were the size to be suitable when we were there that day.
Right.
But originally, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Russ, because I think you were there at the meeting. When we talked about the structural report being done and some of the repairs that had to be done, he put out a figure saying, you know, don't hold me to it, but this could cost $300,000. He told me today, looking at the repairs that have to be done, it could be north of that now.
Of course. My biggest concern on the, and it also is that, we fixed these turnbuckles, but what about the other 30 of them that are up there? You know, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to fix all those ahead of time, or what are we going
to
do?
If something doesn't get done, their suggestion will be to fix at least the four that are in dire need right now down to the percentage loss.
Yeah, there's no, the one picture of those one turnbuckle at 95% is ridiculous.
Yeah.
What was our original estimate to rehab that tank way back in 2013?
800?
Yeah,
that's a complete.
It's almost $1 million.
I recall 900,000.
900,000.
It's almost $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so we're not going to do that.
No.
So.
Yeah. I certainly do not want.
No.
Well, I don't understand why we to spend money to rehab that to hold up the antennas. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's that little piece of the pie that we're dealing with right now. We've got to go to Mr. Boudreau on one of the carriers, T-Mobile, and review the lease a little bit better to figure out whether they can hold us hostage for this or whether we can condemn this
right.
thing
and
take this down.
Him.
As far as I'm concerned, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, I'm willing to work with T-Mobile. I wish these guys were here tonight. And this is indicative of the response from these three cell carriers that we have notified them more than a year and 4 months ago. We asked them to take part in the RFP response. We asked them to help write the leases for the new. We put the RFP out to help them get on a cell tower so that they wouldn't miss a beat, and they continue to just la-di-da. So if I had my way by myself tonight, I would order that thing taken down in the next 2 weeks because I don't care about T-Mobile. So I think it's really indicative, really important for us to get with Mark and see where we are with T-Mobile, maybe even have this discussion with T-Mobile. Mm-hmm. If T-Mobile would like to push this, as far as I'm concerned, all the cell carriers can go away and we won't build a cell tower. We'll build no cell tower. None. Zero. We'll just walk away from the whole project. This is a safety issue as far as I'm concerned now. And I don't know if you guys agree with me. I'm doing a little spouting off here, but you're allowed to be ticked off every once in a while, aren't you, Amy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just to let you know, too, I did talk to Mark. He called me at home about 5 o'clock after he got back from court or wherever he was today. He tried calling the water department. We weren't there. So he called me on my personal cell. I explained everything. He seemed to think that they want another meeting or something through this letter, and I told him what this specified and what they're saying about having a legal right to be there and the quiet claim or whatever. He's going to, he says, well, this looks to be on the top of the list now. So he took it that he will in the next 2 days get back to me with his response to this letter to us and whether we should be meeting with him or, you know, one of us or anything. If so, I will contact one of you and say, I need some help here. You know, let's meet with Mark and decide what's going on. There might be a clause in the contract. I would think with the whole public safety issue, if it becomes non-useful to us,
well,
and the purpose of that is for water, if it's a hindrance to us, like it could be with too much water, that would be no use at all to it. There's no use for having it. There's a couple things on there that we might be able to get out of it with. They seem to have a lease with us that has the first 10 years and five, consecutive 5-year, I mean, excuse me, 3 consecutive 5-year terms. We signed on the 13th, I believe. Next year would be their first 5-year term to be over with. So,
if I don't, if I understand this letter correctly, in this letter they have their concerns about they have licenses that require them to have the 911 and the safety requirements. And in our lease,
did they mention
911? We have in paragraph 30 of our lease, it says the lessee shall have the right to install a location-based system upon the lease premises as may be required by any county, state, or federal agency, a federal agency department, to comply with the enhanced 911 requirements or E911. So that would seem to me to say that this is not our responsibility on this license that they have, T-Mobile. This is their responsibility. And we have a provision in here that gives them their responsibility, allows them their responsibility to put up this cow or tower or whatever it might be. The other two seem to be folding in line, you know, not, that they are kind of understand that the tank is coming down and they're willing to work with us. But it seems like T-Mobile is the only one putting their feet down right now.
They're the only one with a contract. That's why.
Okay.
The company that was with us yesterday was Sprint,
right,
trying to get off. AT&T has come to us and said they'd like to put a cow, and they're trying to go through to do the sell on wheels.
Right.
This is the only one that hasn't contacted us again since the letter came out. They have been and have been pushing it forward, and this would be Corey, who is their front man, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
He has been very forward and trying to get the process going. He's not hiding in any way that I have seen. He's tried to push the others into helping and make a mutual thing on this. He's the one who pushed to have the structural report done. I don't think that they're going to get the results that they wanted from that structural report.
Oh, no, I know. I don't.
Because they have already paid, for them, not much money, but they have paid some money to have that report done.
If they'd like to pay for that thing to stay in the air for the next 20 years, then have at it.
I think one thing to consider is the cost of those repairs is probably what it costs more to build a cell phone tower. So ironically enough, they could subcontract with another group, build a tower, and make revenue off it rather than just doing repairs. I mean, it seems outrageous, in my opinion.
No, that's a good call, Russ.
Do you have a handle on what it would cost to put up a monopole, you know, what they were talking about?
I've heard approximately $250,000 is the overall, depending on height and things like that, but in that neighborhood. I think everyone agrees that the tank has to come down and we have to act in this fashion to expedite it, but I would also caution that there is a signed legal document between the Kituit Fire District and each one of these carriers. I'm sure that the carriers have a vast expertise of dealing with complex issues through what they do. It just tends to be one of these hot topics. So I would emphasize that a strong understanding of the lease and what we can and cannot do, and you know what our actions are. So I would agree that a meeting with the attorney should be on the top of the priority list.
I think two of the carriers are there's some common sense taking place there, and they understand we're trying to work with us. And if T-Mobile's got this issue, then we have to. Mark's going to have to start. We'll use Mr. Boudreau and go off to handle this thing.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, any other?
We're one good storm, one really good storm away from being taken out of our hands. They've had more than a year's notice. And finally, now they're coming up and they're waiving their lease with us. And we have never been the one to hinder this process. They just haven't participated in it.
I agree 100%. You know, in our opinion, you're on borrowed time right now. It's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when.
Yeah.
You got groups like a Dave Matthew who has more experience with tanks than probably all of us combined. And even he has said that since 2013, it's gone downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the results of this thing are going to be pretty big for T-Mobile to do anything with it, you know. Although, who knows what kind of money they want to waste. Okay, Russ.
I have no other updates. Are there any other questions for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Those are why we're walking gingerly.
Okay. And the other two carriers are willing to find a substitute place, but T-Mobile isn't?
It would be within our property.
Okay.
And, yes, they're willing to work with us. They have responded and are willing to work with us and work with them. We've asked for that for a year and 4 months.
And T-Mobile won't do that?
They just showed up. Amy, we've had probably not to exaggerate, including our regular meetings that we have in here, 20 meetings at this stage of the game about this project, and all of it, every time they're invited to this. We can't. As far as I'm concerned on the record, and I know it's not, probably not, it's probably not legal, but I would say T-Mobile's done with us. But I don't think we can do that. If I had my way, I'd tell T-Mobile that's it. Sure, we'll give you your way, but you're never getting on this tank again. When this tank goes away, when this gets done, when your lease is done, you're going to take your stuff off of here, so you might as well get it done now. But I don't think I can legitimately say that. But personally, I might make it my personal work to do that.
They do not want to move until there is a permanent solution there.
Right.
That is their that's their stance on it.
Right.
That they do not want to sign with anybody until there's some paperwork that says there's going to be something there, because if they put that cow there and that comes down and nothing goes up, they can't do a thing.
Mm.
And they can't keep the cow there and everything's done.
I mean, they should have told us about that about a year ago.
Yeah. Well,
do they ever, any of the cell phone carriers, do they ever put up their own tower, or do they always lease?
I don't know that.
I believe they do.
That's a great question, Vic.
I have heard that, I believe AT&T has towers that they own, but for whatever reason, it's just the industry that the carriers tend to rely on others to build the towers. It's
so
the way the industry goes.
They don't want to put it.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, Russ. Thank you very much. See you later.
Thank you, Russ. Yeah.
Okay.
The gentleman from Sprint was going to be here. Was trying to put a wooden pole that was 75 feet on the back side. This morning he called and said he couldn't make it because he found out that it's Native American land rights, or he has to go through Native American Scientology or whatever you want to say to make sure there's nothing there. That could take up to 120 days if he wants to put a 15-inch hole in the ground to put a pole down. So for him trying to slow down and not put a cow there and not have to go through Cape Cod Commission because it's only 75 feet, he now would have to go through, he has to re-look at it again. But he was there, spent the day out with BizCo and us yesterday in the morning, deciding where to put stuff, how to keep it away so when he took the tank down, it wouldn't be in their way.
Mm-hmm.
They're working with us. He did ask, though, before he went in, seems I'm going to be only 75 feet up instead of 167, and my footprint's going from this to this.
Yeah.
Can we knock our rent in half? I said, that's not a decision for me to make. That's a decision for the commissioners to make. And he said, well, what's this meeting? I said, you could come and talk to him. It's an open meeting. It's a public meeting. And he had planned on being here to express his desires.
Chris, that's never been surveyed for Native American artifacts or?
I don't think he's gone to the paperwork on it yet.
Okay.
For that. I think that piece of property might be totally different than, you know, National Heritage, all that stuff, or what are the endangered species, you know, all that different stuff. He's going to have some permitting to do.
Yeah.
And he's the one who has to go and approach that. Maybe if he doesn't dig a hole in the ground, if he's not putting any foundations, but he's got to put something in there with it. If he's putting a monopole up like that, he's got to have some kind of tie-downs, and you would think they'd have to have foundations in them.
Well, if you look at those high-tension lines, you know, that go through our property,
yeah.
I mean, those poles are 75 feet, the wooden poles.
Yeah.
So did they have to go through the...
They must have. They must have had to go through on any replacement poles or anything like that. So that was just a quick phone call we got this morning on that.
Yeah.
This guy's making an effort to help us with this.
Yeah.
Right. And AT&T, like I said, did call, said they were going to stop the process of trying to put a cow out there to get things expedited as quick as possible.
Yeah.
That's all I have from Cell Guys right now, besides Chris. Zach Farkas was supposed to be here tonight to give you a little bit of a report also.
Yeah.
And he called up, sent us a email. I don't know if everybody, was it in anybody else's packet besides mine?
Yes, I got it.
I didn't see it. Oh, here it is, yep. This thing down there.
He has a planning meeting tomorrow, I believe it is. The 19th. Town Council on the 19th, where they will be doing a first read. He says, I'll provide you guys with an update on Thursday's meeting if I don't see you there. I don't know if he expects one of us to be there at all.
I don't know. We can call him and find out. I got his number here on this thing. I'll give him a call. I've been meaning to give him a call. And whether, maybe he needs, for us to check in once every couple weeks or once every week just to make sure what's going on.
I don't know if he wants somebody there for backup or anything like that, or just to show our support on it.
I think he's got support over there. I think he's, pretty good.
Is this more of a perfunctionary meeting? I mean, they read the proposal.
It's the first read, yeah.
And then they refer to the planning commission.
Right.
There's no real discussion.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
So he called it a first read
in
here. So I don't know if we need to have somebody there or not.
I don't think it hurts, though.
That's how it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's over at the high school?
It's
at the
town hall.
The town hall.
You'll be on TV.
Whew.
Better
you
wear your good hat.
Yeah.
See me on TV the last time? How'd I do? I didn't do good today. Yeah, TV. Don't talk. If you talk, you're on TV. Okay, so I'm glad Zach is doing this. I'm excited for this to move forward. You know, I think we're good. Plus, they'll review his separately from the other guys. If the other towns from our last meeting in there, they'll at least review Zach's and Borrego's. Process first and not get caught up with waiting on these guys to come along since we're already a long ways along. Okay. All right. Thank you.
A quick thing also just to ask you guys, that stuff I handed you from Tater and Howard.
Yep.
If you want, Patrick said he would come down to the meeting to discuss it, talk about it, if you had any questions for him on it.
I just want to know if those figures are still good for now.
He just re-upped them to me. I told him, he gave me that in December.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I sent that back to you and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I said, yeah, I know. I know you sent it to me. I said, send it to me again.
Yeah. I guess the other thing I want to know is if you do have to talk to DEP about where we are in the process, can we get, besides the cost, what is the time frame so we can let them know what our plan is?
Right. They want it done yesterday.
Yeah. I know, but what is the time for really us being able to do it after first having to get the money to do it?
Once we get the money, I think we're talking just we have to go out to bid on it.
Yeah.
So they'd have to handle that and everything. And I think we said it could take, we had said February as a finish, so we could take up to 6 months to do the work. So
we would start with which one first?
It would be February of next year that we would be saying again. We'd put it off for 1 year.
I don't know. Is there any possibility that money that could be left over from the USDA stuff be used towards that? Or some of our other money being shifted towards it?
Well, yeah, I plan on having the wells put the well cleaned beforehand, and if anything has to be replaced using the pump and well well cleaning,
okay.
Having it done prior to.
Yeah.
So that all they have to do is change the shaft, or, you know, having them come in and do it, then having the company come in behind them.
Okay.
To do the changing of the shaft, you know, the size shaft or something like, maybe they can work together or that effect.
All right. Okay. That was Russell and Chris. The next thing on there is rate survey. I did have a conversation with Fran, and she asked us to, I'm going to work with Jen and put a package together for the Prudential Committee so that they can see where we are on the rate increase. Just as Fran and the Prudential Committee.
Oh, okay.
So that they know what we're doing. She's been asking about it for a while, and so has Stan.
Stan? Okay,
yeah.
Yep.
So it's a pretty simple package. It's what we put together for the different rate increases, 9, 10%, 15%, 20%. It gives our revenue. It gives where the breakdown is on payments in terms of the first 10,000 gallons, 20,000 gallons, excuse me, the next 100,000 gallons, or the next 300,000 gallons. Is that, am I right, Rick? Close, Chris?
It's broken down the same as we have now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that they can see where our revenue comes from, where the users are. Who uses 100,000 gallons? Who uses 300,000 gallons? Not their names on there, but the amount of people that we have in those categories and how much money we receive from each of those. And then hopefully they can help us make a decision as to where they want to go in terms of how much, you know, what kind of increase it would be. Also, based on the information that I give them of the other communities' charges. Not to exceed or be lower. I don't think we want to be the lowest in the group, and I don't think we want to be the highest because Hyannis is ridiculous. So I think that I can get that to her in the next week, and she's asking us to actually get together in a meeting with them to review this. And I believe it was February 24th that she was asking for, but let me verify that, and I'll get back with you guys to what night it would be. Are you guys looking okay at the end of February?
End of February, yes. The 1st of March, no.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here at the end of February.
Okay, well, how many? The last week of February?
Yeah, I'll be gone the 19th to the 28th.
Okay. All right. We probably can review this thing, Vic, if you don't mind, without you there. It's just a matter of reviewing what we'll have already set out. We'll probably make some decisions on the next meeting, and then we can go over it with them.
And you can send me stuff, too.
I can.
Yeah,
we can.
Send me stuff.
Yeah, Jen can.
And how many different proposals have you made?
We have it broken down, Amy. You know what? I can.
Like three drop levels of increase, and then you would show credentials.
If you have a couple minutes afterwards, I would be happy to. I have it. It's all put together already here. I can show you what we're talking about. Right, that's a little easier. Yeah.
And from my perspective, I would like to see us be fully self-supporting through our operations. You know, the operational expenses, our labor, and our health insurance and our retirement contribution through the rates.
We know what level.
Well, that's like. That's what I'd like to see.
Okay.
It work out to be.
Yeah.
The reason we've shown in the black in terms of our function over the last 3 years at this stage of the game, but that what you're talking about with the insurance, is it? And the retirement has been taken out of ours, and it's being paid by the Prudential Committee, paid by the people.
Yeah.
But not through our budget, you know.
Yeah.
Right, I have the insurance.
Breakdown right there?
Breakdown here.
Okay.
You guys have it.
I saw that.
The other one was retirement, which we tried to get.
Yeah.
But they said they will not give it to us. The treasurer will have to call for it.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Well, he had said that he didn't have that. He suggested that I try the,
of course,
the board. So I have to get back in touch with, I don't know, I guess it's Mike. I know that there's been some meetings about hiring a new, interviewing and hiring a new treasurer, but I haven't heard if they did or if they didn't. I haven't seen any minutes on it, so.
Chris, he couldn't give us a percentage. I mean, he must have a rule of thumb. It costs, for retirement, you take out 31% or, you know, 16%. He couldn't give us that.
He said he didn't have that available. I would have to call them.
He just wasn't going to give it to you, Chris. Is that what it was?
No, he didn't say he wouldn't give it to you. He doesn't have that available. He gave us the other breakdown was in the report.
Yeah.
That was there. Told me to call Jonathan Finn, or whatever his name was, from the insurance company, and he could give me a breakdown for what he says. I have a bill to pay. I don't know who gets what. What's going on in that? So I called him up. He had his girl, the woman that was working with him. I shouldn't say his girl. I apologize. He had the woman that works with him come through and make up some stuff here and work on it. And he got it to me before when I was putting on the new tank.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up getting it over to me. Jen called the retirement board, and they wouldn't give her anything on it. So this is where we sit now. I'll have to give Mike a call back and ask him to call over there and see if they will help out, because I don't know if he wants retired people. He wants how much is going into people for retirement, you know, past and present.
He wants the total package.
Right.
Yeah. I get that.
I going back retroactively and paying for retired people doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, current employees paying their retirement costs does, but how far back do you go? And then, that money has already been set aside for those people that have retired. So what are you saying? We're going to contribute to some general fund?
And we were slowly trying to catch up. So
yeah, but for what?
People that used to be employees of the water department.
Fire district or the water department?
Of the water department is our concern.
Right. We only recently, within the past couple of years, started putting money for the funded liability. And kind of, like, slowly off of it. And doing it.
Yeah.
But previously, that didn't come out of our budget. It came out of Prudential Committee's budget. Right?
Yeah, but it is a problem was come to light that money was always had to be funded. We just didn't have a way to fund it, and now they're trying to catch up.
Yeah.
So we come current, become just be more responsible. In our effort right here, what I believe we've been charged with is try to be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And to my understanding, in all areas of operations and responsibilities, excluding capital expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the deal.
Did we get any feedback on whether the money if we develop a solar field and if we have a cell tower, would come as part of our revenue stream or counted against our revenue stream? I know it goes into the general fund, but that wouldn't be on our books.
That's right. It goes to the general fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'd have to balance that budget based only on the revenue from the water.
I don't think so, Chris. That's a good question, Vic. It's a good question, and I believe that revenue is in the budget. That's part of what we see. We do see it, even though it goes to the general fund. it's on our books.
That's right.
Right.
So when we set those rates,
yeah, that's on our books. You're right.
Yeah.
That's right. Nick.
The credit side.
That's it doesn't go to us for use, but it gets put in our.
This is what we bring
in our book.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that would be just considered like the fees you get for water.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Right.
And then we'll see what that realistically is.
Right. And we're 200,000 short. Is that what it is? Our revenue is 300,000, but we can't buy. Is that kind
as far as what?
As far as the
water department?
Yeah.
No. No, we're
our operational expenses.
We're black in the black.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it does not include the insurance retirement.
Right.
We're almost without the insurance and everything right now. I think last year we were very just a little under without talking about insurance, retirement, even special appropriations, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to ballpark it as we're talking here so that we don't sit around just waiting, and I'll get this information in this packet. But I think 3 years ago we were about $600 in the black. 2 years ago we were $15,000 in the black. Last year we were 30-something thousand in the black. And that was a plus because it took away the pay, you know, we eliminated that payment. So.
A total budget is just under $600,000 for operations and maintenance.
Yeah, 582.
What was it last year? We brought in, like right now for a grand total, we're at $533,000 or something like that, bringing in. So that, So that almost pays for our everything without insurance and everything else. So that's what we're saying.
I don't know where they want to go. I don't know where. I don't know where. You know, Prudential wants us to go with that.
Yeah, so. I never knew what was driving it.
Yeah.
What was driving the bus and what were we trying to accomplish? The other question I had was would an increase in rates, would that deter our big customers from, do you think, you know, from that?
No, I think we can increase the rates without any
most
trouble.
Most of our customers that use, like say our top tier customers, they're going to use it no matter what you choose.
Right.
Not only that, but we haven't raised the rates in a long, long time.
Yeah,
they're more than reasonable, and I haven't heard anyone say, "Oh my gosh, you're going to raise the rates." It's the end of the world. They've all said, "Well, we've had a good ride for a long time." You know, would understand with times changing and all the expenses and things, stuff like that. And we don't want to abuse that.
Right.
We still have a goal. We're trying to be responsible and keep everything in mind and be open to all the options.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
So if we have a second to kill, there's one thing I would like to say here for people that are listening, because we've used some terminology that we understand what we're saying because we've been reading this stuff, but if you're listening at home, you may not understand what at least one term is. We used the term cow a number of times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. That is a temporary structure for communication facilities. It's cow stands for cell on wheels. So it's a temporary structure on wheels. It's portable. Okay? And I know when people are listening, they go, what are they talking about? A cow. That's simply what it is. And
okay.
I thought I'd throw that 2 cents in.
That's a good point. And, yeah, you tend to use acronyms, and not everybody understands it. No animals will be hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. We thought we were going to have Chris Hesse here tonight, but he has sent through another letter and said that he can't make it.
He has sent us the same letter.
It's the same letter.
That
okay.
He sent back in December.
The same letter that he sent back in December. And I think I'd like to table it just for, I would table it until we either can get Chris Hesse with us or we have, with this going to Attorney Mann, let's let him take this and we'll set up our regular meeting in February, but would you guys be opposed to us having another meeting and that we could possibly finalize our decision on this rather than doing it tonight?
I'd be open to another meeting, but I don't think we can afford to put this off too much longer because if we go in one direction, it's going to require a lot more work and put this whole process out
right.
further.
Right.
And with pressure coming from T-Mobile about having put something on our structure, we need to move forward instead of just continuing to, you know, tread water.
I'm okay with that. I agree. If we, our determination is that we are not going to make any moves in terms of changing the lease or accommodating him with an amendment in the lease, I would think that we might need to say to him that we're not going to do that and he can decide what he wants to do from that point forward. But at the same time, I know how disgruntled we are at this stage of the game with this whole process. And Chris?
Just to bring in, Jen did speak with Attorney Mann
yep.
on this. And he says if we do decide to end it, there are four choices here.
Right.
There's an email in here. They all kind of look alike. I apologize. These are the four choices how we can go about it, he believes, in the legal right
yeah.
of it and everything. So just make sure you review that
okay.
if you do choose to go that way. And there's some backup information on here. As you'll see them where it actually has said in here where some of these sections are.
Okay.
When did you email that to us, Chris?
This was
today. Went today. Probably.
Emailed out to myself to Ted. I don't believe it was emailed to you. I think we've given you.
I think it's in your package.
Oh, it's in the packet.
I think
yeah.
it's in your package.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right here. Right after the lease. It was January 18th for a date.
Not the one that says January 10th at 12:05. Notes from
no. I'm talking about the. It was sent on January 18th, 2017 at 12:10 p.m. Maybe it is the same. Oh, what do you have? No.
No, that's not.
It would be. Did you guys? Is this in your?
I'm looking.
One from Chris that says Rusty Camp. One says Stuart Water Department reception. Are the first words on it?
Yeah, I've got Stuart Water Department reception.
You mean this thing?
No.
No.
I thought everybody had had it. Okay, no, not everybody has this then. He has given me then. I thought we went about the whole thing. So I can explain if you do go this way, we would have to, I'll read it to you. We'd have to do what they call a failure of consideration. Basically, as the $5,000 has not been paid for the execution of the lease, it makes the agreement invalid and is partially. It is partially delivered, basically. He signed the lease, but he hasn't done anything else. So
he had 7 days
to terminate.
Seven days to execute it, right?
Yeah.
It was 7 days.
The other is the RFP. In the RFP, there was a statement in the RFP that says you have 7 days to execute the lease after it's signed.
To terminate and reissue. We could use this as a point of argument because he keeps saying the RFP is not as the RFP was meant and everything else, but he doesn't really think that it would hold up, that these would hold up over the RFP in court if there was anything. You can terminate the lease based on monetary default, which is stated in here, from the, not paying the $5,000. And you can, and Mr. Hesse was here, which he isn't. You can notify him that you're not going to send the amendment, sign the amendment, and that you could both just walk away with a simple signature saying we're going to go back out. Let's just walk away from this. We don't have to give you a letter
good,
saying
good, walk away.
We're going to do a walk away, but he would still owe the $5,000. So
you'll forward that.
I'll forward this now that we've discussed it amongst everybody in the field. I'll forward it to you guys tomorrow. I'll make a note here. But it's just these are the possibilities if we go that way.
Yeah.
I want you guys
to
read.
Trying to,
say to read
we
that.
Have to go that way.
I need you guys to read that.
Yeah, I want to read it.
And,
yeah, yeah, we
and
do.
Then we'll set up another meeting.
Possibly two.
Yeah, well, we have our own regular meeting, and then we have another meeting to just specifically decide how we're going to go on that. We don't have there's not a lot of work involved in putting out another RFP. We've got that in place already if we want to do that. The only thing that we would do with that is I talked to Russ, and I think he may have said something to you about it, Chris, that we would include the lease agreement with a new RFP, and that way we would know this is the lease that they're going to be involved in, and we're not going to write the lease as we go along. This is it. Either use this lease or you don't.
You don't
have to bother. You don't have to bother bidding on this RFP if you're not willing to sign this lease. So, I mean, that was maybe something that we could have done the first time around, but I don't think we really even had a clue on that.
I'd suggest one thing that we, in this other meeting, if we do decide to terminate, that we detail what our other options are. If what we can do in lieu of pursuing what we have in front of us.
Right. We would be better. You know, we would be better served. To consider the ground service rental agreement, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And it'd be up to them to negotiate their terms. We wouldn't be involved in that at all. It probably wouldn't bring us as much revenue, but we would have revenue.
There would be no headaches.
No headaches. And no stop like this. This has been pretty much a nightmare, as we all know, waiting for these guys to show up. Our problem is these guys won't show up. We can't do anything. We don't have them here. So I think I'm, is that on track, Chris?
Yes, you are. You're
okay.
On track.
All right.
If you would sign this, it really, this amendment too, it's really not doing what he's asked for either.
No,
it's not.
No. I think there's no doubt that we would, I think there's probably no doubt that once we come down to it, and I just once again, just talking that, we're probably not going to make any kind of move, and he's going to be responsible for the lease as is, unless we terminate him.
Right. So it's a matter of what do you want to do at this point? We're not willing to change it. It's what you're going to have to decide. Or sign this and say, hey, here you go. If somebody terminates the lease, you don't owe us any money.
Well, that's a good call. I think that he is responsible still for the $5,000.
Right.
And I think that's correct. And we've been held up long enough, and we've incurred some fees to try and stay with them, so we're going to collect that $5,000.
And that's at that point, letters to get the $5,000 from.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Have we heard anything?
He gave us an email that stated, and we have decided that looking at it, that it's enough, and I think it's in my, the one from Jen that you guys probably don't have. Jen sent him an email
4th.
Back on December 5th,
yeah, right.
Stating, you know, Chris, I was out of the office. That
was
on vacation.
Read it. Can you just read it?
Yeah, we can read it here. He says, I won't speak for him. He can respond when he's back from his office. So it goes on from there. We negotiate on you negotiate on behalf of Vertical Bridge and your business interests. You were clearly informed going into the signing of the agreement, and you assured our attorney that you had done hundreds of these leases before and were well prepared to negotiate for the lease. It's not acceptable or appropriate to change the agreement in this manner at this time, as Rick mentioned. This is the nature of a master or ground lease. He is our legal counsel and understands the interests of the district. We are, including Chairman Barnacle, have empowered him to discuss and negotiate it on our behalf. The one-year clock has now ticking on your option to exercise the lease, and your payment of $5,000 was due at the signing of the lease. It has not yet been paid and should be remitted immediately. He came back with a response, Jen, thanks for your email. We are processing the 5K, and we'll be in touch with Chris when he returns later in the week. That was on December 5th.
Okay.
He sent me a response then saying, how about I hear we've incurred quite a bit of legal costs. How about if I try to help by giving $1,000 if you guys sign this lease? Sign the amendment, basically, and change it so that I only have to pay when I have a signed lease with
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Just a quick question. If we're getting to a point here. Have we heard anything directly from the county on operating 911 if that tower goes down? They haven't contributed.
I
know we're not directly responsible
yeah.
for it, but
that's when I read that in our lease, we've made that clear to them that if they have federal limits and they have federal licensure agreements
yes.
that say that they must put that up there, then we're not holding them up from doing that.
No.
They got to go get the permits. Now, they had since last October 2015. When I said last October here, I meant 2 Octobers ago.
Yeah.
Not last October. 2 Octobers ago in 2015. And that's the ache that I talk about, them not responding. At least two of them have decided to have a response. The third one has all of a sudden decided, oh, my God,
yeah.
they just sent me a letter, 30 days the tank's coming down. They must have been serious. So, and I think I'll let Russell chase that information down, but I really believe that we're going to end up making a date for Bisco to come in. We'll send a second letter out for that tank to come down, and it's coming down. Yeah.
I think the condition of that tank
okay.
demands that of us to
yeah.
get it down as soon as we can.
I don't think there's a question about that.
Yeah.
I think they're just flexing their big company muscle
yeah.
because they can.
Yeah. I'm concerned about it. I don't want to put us in some kind of legal battle that we don't need to have when if we get some cooperation, then everybody will get equal opportunity on a new pole.
Right. My only concern is that they say you have a legal right to fix it now, to keep it up there.
No. They don't. They're not going to do that. That's not
I don't believe so either.
That's not gonna
but happen. That's my only concern, that they're trying to push there.
Yeah.
That if there's repairs to be made, you have to make them.
Yeah, we're not going to do that anyways.
They're kind of late in the game.
I apologize for doing this. But when we were talking about bills and everything, I got my bill from Calm. because I live in the Mills.
Oh, your water bill?
Yeah, my water bill. And I was texting my wife because I couldn't remember the charge that they put out there.
Yeah.
Every 6 months, they charge us $30 for an account charge.
Yeah.
Oh, to have an account in there costs you $6. Just to have water in Calm,
yeah,
it costs you $60 a year.
Huh. Even if you don't
that's
use
not,
it.
That's not
even
water.
Telling how much it costs. Then it goes to a bill that tells you their structure was... I used 37,000 gallons, I believe, and 20 of it was just at $1 a gallon. 17 was at $2.90 a gallon, and then if I had any more, it was $3.95 after that.
So we're back on the rate survey.
Yeah,
did a little
yeah,
jump around, but yeah, I got that. Let's
so,
say
yeah,
let's say for instance on that I see that the Barstool Fire District Water Department has an increase laid out all the way to 2019, where they are at from 1,000 to 45,000 gallons. They're currently $3, and then they're going to move in 2016 to 315, and then in October of 2016, 335, then 2017, 340, 2017, 340, 2018, 345, then in 2019, 350.
Yeah. So everybody's doing it.
Yeah. It's not like we're the only ones. I mean, we're currently right now, I think we are at 2.4. Our current rate right now for the minimum is 20,000 gallons is $36.
Yeah.
And then after that, we go 20,000 to 40,000, which would probably be in that mix of the first line I just read, we are charging $1.80 per gallon. So, per 100 gallons?
And you were saying high-end is a high-end.
That's over 40,000 gallons.
It's $1.80 per gallon?
Is it,
yeah.
No, $1.80 for the 20, because $1.80 times 20 is 36.
Got it.
So, it's the same price,
no
matter if you look at the $20,000 is 36, up to $40,000, it used to be $72, and we cut it in half.
We don't have any charges, and those are the low side. To 350, we have no charges currently. The 120,000 gallons, our current rate is $3. That's the same as the user in Barnstable that uses 1,000 to 45,000 gallons. So I'm okay with the rate increase. Just want to know why. You know, we just
got
to be able to
what
say
are we
why we're doing
that rate
this.
Increase.
We just, you know, if we're in the black. How much in the black do we want to do? Is this? That's what I want to know from.
Is this from Dan Mahoney?
This is Mahoney's, yeah, Sandwich Water District. Yeah. This one is Jen. I had Jen pull this one for me. For instance, the number of accounts that we have, 120,000 plus, are 580 out of our 2,290 accounts. The number of accounts in the 0 to 20,000 range is 487. And then in the middle is 300. 500, 300 users. That's the amount of people that are using it at those rates. So we can make an easy increase to help us, you know, defer the cost. Yeah. Okay. So we're good?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I didn't mean to get off.
No, it's good, Chris.
I thought it looked pretty rude to me sitting there texting while you guys were talking.
I was thinking that. I was definitely thinking that.
I was thinking about you.
What are you doing?
I was thinking
about
football.
Football.
Yeah. You got the Patriots schedule out right now. You can't have fun in these meetings. Stop that.
No. Sorry. Solon.
What's Hyannis paying? Do you have that on there? You said they're the highest?
Hyannis right now is the highest I can remember.
And they're paid by the town of
Hyannis Water System.
Right.
Yeah, but don't get fooled by that, because that's a serious situation over there at Barnstable Fire District. They've got some issues. They've been contaminated. They have some serious stuff taking place over there. We just don't even want to talk bad about them. We, you know, they got problems. That's why one of the main reasons that, I mean, I'm not going political on you here, but that's why I'm an opponent. That's why I'm an opponent of us being consolidated into one district as a water department. We don't want that. Sorry, Chris.
Just to reiterate everything here. Is anybody going to a meeting tomorrow night? Oh, for Zach?
It's tomorrow night?
Yeah.
No.
Let's call Zach and see if he needs us there.
All right.
If he needs us there for some reason, I'd be happy to go. I don't think he needs us there. They're ready for him. I don't think he's going to meet a bad bone.
I don't think we have to be there, but if you guys tell me I have to be there or something like that, I'll go.
What time is it?
Town council meeting. I'll check the town of Boswell and let you know.
Okay.
I'll find out.
Oh, yeah, I can look.
My wife needs me in Newport. It's her anniversary.
Oh, boy.
Oh, geez.
You better go. You better go. Okay, so I think we're done here.
We got to do the next meeting.
Yep.
Did you want to meet beforehand too? Is that what you said?
I don't want to set it up. I want everybody to get to read that stuff from Attorney Mann, and then we'll set up a day next week.
Okay. And if
we have enough days to schedule it so that we can get it on the board or wherever we're supposed to put it.
And if I get a written response from Attorney Boudreau, I'll send it out also.
Yeah.
To everybody.
Yeah. Because it's a pretty critical deal, and I don't want to just. I want you to read that stuff and smoke that in your pipe for a couple of days.
I reread that proposed amendment, and I still don't understand it.
Okay, well, I can understand that you wouldn't. Not in a bad way, because I didn't either.
Oh.
But I can understand why we didn't understand it.
Before you do that, too, one more thing. I have Russ's contract here. I don't know if you guys want to get on to that at all with GHD. I have the original here, which is for legal services for the SCADA.
I read that, yeah. I did that. Yeah.
If you guys want to glance at it, sign, do it if you want. I don't know who he's got in there.
No, I read this is a service agreement, I said.
Right. They're going to design everything, I believe, or help out with it.
Right.
Did you guys already sign the contracts one?
I thought we did.
No, you signed the agreement for Open Cape.
We didn't sign this one. No. I don't think we had to. I thought we decided that you were going to be able to sign this one. No?
I think we need to make sure it's a go now.
This is the
Comtrack Corporation.
Fiber optic?
Yep.
I'm good. I read this. I'm good. I'm okay. It's time for us to get this in the ground. You know what the problem is? The problem is that the USDA is trying to figure out when we're going to be looking for more. They want to know when we earn more money.
Yeah.
It's $141,608.
We have that in the.
We have it already in there. We have $260,000 already in the budget for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all the extras that we get out of for this are going to come out of that the USDA money.
Right. That's designing the SCADA system that goes with it.
Right.
So do you need a motion?
I think we've got to schedule a meeting here.
Right? I thought
about
signing.
Let's sign this Comtrack Corp document that we. We've had it for a couple months. I'll see where we sign it, Chris. It's always on that page.
Well, this one, there's...
That was a service agreement.
That's for the SCADA system.
Yeah, we're going to sign that.
Yeah. We haven't signed that?
I don't think we did.
No, there's nothing on it.
Okay. Let's make a motion to...
Make a motion that we sign, make an agreement between the two of... Fire District Water Department and GHD for services in SCADA surveillance assessment.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
just need a motion to accept this?
Well, we want to make a motion to accept that. It's fine. And if we need to be signed, Jen can get us in there to sign it.
Or I can sign it, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that we had already said that. So the motion is to the Water Department, school, fiber optic infrastructure for the Kadua Water Department, done by the Comtrack Corporation.
Okay. Make a motion that we accept this contract between the Kadua Water Department for the scope of work on the fiber optic infrastructure for the Kadua Water Department by Comtrack Corporation.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yeah, we'll look in there. I'll find it and let you know. I'm going to just date that.
Bless you.
Okay. We could have three meetings this month, me and you, Don.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, calendar, here it comes.
So Wednesday nights are good. Are the nights of the week they have things going on, right?
When are you gone, Vic? The 15th?
February 18th to 28th.
Okay.
The 15th, so.
You want to do the 15th?
15th is the third Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is that for our regular meeting?
For our regular meeting, right.
Yep, that's good.
Okay. So February 15th, the regular meeting?
Yep.
And tentatively, can we look at that week of the 6th or the 10th after you've reviewed the stuff that you have in your hand? Or maybe even earlier. Why don't we just play that by ear?
I'm available all Wednesdays between now and then.
Okay. So we can all kind of get back to Jen and tell her when we're ready to set up this extra meeting for the purpose of making a decision on the cell tower lease amendment. Okay?
Yeah, I think the sooner the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
If we can get the information out there and we can read it and get our heads together on it.
Okay.
And also something on the agenda for the regular meeting is going to be our budget.
Correct.
For the next meeting, yeah.
Yeah. I think, I'm not sure when the Prudential Committee meeting is at the end of February, Don. But I for some reason, I was thinking that we were talking with, I was talking with Fran on the 22nd, 23rd, somewhere in that area for us to meet. And I think, are they the 27th? Amy, do you know? They're the 24th. So they're the 27th, and so one of those 2 days we could meet with them. And I think Jen's going to, again, that's going to be a regular meeting, regular. I mean, it's going to be on the board, whatever we do. What are we doing? We put it out there, right, so everybody can see it? Okay. All right. And then we'll just be a regular meeting, and then we'll discuss the rate increases with them. And we take it from there, which is well, we can discuss that later once we get that decision and when it would be implemented. Okay? All right.
Ready for a motion?
I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
So adjourn at 7:33.
I think it's 7:31. Does that sound right?
Turn it on. 7:31.